I doing to help bring out the main things for any person, any business, any skill? And here's the three things: volume, time, and skill. Volume, time, and skill. Volume. How much am I getting? How much? How much truth am I getting? How much of the Word of God am I getting? How much am I taking in as true to me and living out what I know to be true? How much? How much volume? How much am I around scriptural things or biblical things? Okay? How much time am I investing in that? How much time? If I was to time the average person who reads their Bible, just reading, not studying, to read, right? If I was to time it, and then over a year say, okay, how much time were you actually in your Bible? Well, time-wise, 10 hours. 10 hours over a whole year, you will not be an expert at anything in 10 hours. So don't get discouraged or frustrated because you think, I read a verse a day or a chapter a day for 365 days, and I don't know anything about my Bible, which is true. It's not about your Bible as a whole. It's the one the Bible is written about. It's about a person, not textual information that I'm taking in. Yeah, in only 10 hours, you won't be really good at anything in 10 hours. Some things, based on, number two, skill level, right? What's my skill level of understanding context? Understanding what's happening in the culture? Understanding, fill in the blank, right? So out of 10 hours at a beginner's skill level, I'm going to have some bad habits, right? I'm going to have some misinterpretations. I'm going to have some things that need correcting. We see it in wrestling I see it in wrestling right now. I see a kid, I'm going to show you how to do the half Nelson. Well, I already know how to do it. Show me. Oh my goodness. They show me how to do it. And it's like horrible technique. No wonder why you can't pin anybody, because you're doing the half Nelson. You think at your level the right way, and it's not. Let me tweak it and show you how you can be successful at doing something at your skill level you thought you were proficient at. So I want to be around people at a higher skill level, right? And how much time, volume, all those things play a part, okay? Paul invested a lot of time. Paul was very skillful, and Paul invested volumes of truth in Timothy. It's not that Timothy does not know. He's ashamed of what he does know. He's ashamed of what he does know. So to help, Paul is saying this: I love the Jesus in you. I love the faith that you have that's in you. Okay? Now at that same time, you need to do what I did, and you need to love the Jesus in others, and you need to help bring out the love of Christ in others. Here's how we do that. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. 2 Timothy 2, 1. So you, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Share, here it is, share the things that you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses with faithful men who will be able to teach others also. All right, Timothy, here's an assignment. You need to, what's going to help you is to be around those that love Jesus, is to be around those that want to know more. What's going to help you not be ashamed is for you to talk to others about Jesus and bring out the love of Christ in them. That, as a byproduct, psychologically, will help you endure, will help you not be ashamed. Isn't it amazing how much you learn by teaching someone else what you know? Isn't it amazing how much you just surprisingly remember when I'm investing in someone else to teach them? I'll start remembering, oh yeah, I do love this Jesus.
oh yeah, I remember that truth now, how he'll never leave me nor forsake me. Oh man, I remember that truth, how I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. Oh man, I remember now all things work together for good. To love that God calling his purpose. I remember that now. See, Paul is very wise. And his love of Timothy, to know exactly what Timothy needs. Timothy, I love you. I love the Christ in you. And so it's not based on how you treat me. I'm not mad that you're ashamed. I'm not based on any circumstance coming my way and how you view me. I love the Christ in you. I want you to now teach others also of the love of Jesus in them. You do these things, and we're going to look at this, to bring out the love of Christ in everybody else. Wouldn't that be awesome to be used by God to bring out Christ's love more in you? Isn't this amazing? Let's just say, for sake of argument, there's 30 people here right now. If everyone got 1% better, 1% better at their love with the Lord, living out for Christ, we would have a 30% increase in the love of God as a whole in our church. Isn't that awesome? Now, for our church family, we're at 100% already, so it would be 130%, which is excellent. But just think, being used of God to just help that one person grasp that one truth, or help that person understand that one thing of assurance of salvation, or help that one person see, no, Christ loves you no matter what your past says about you. You are not your past. Timothy, here's your command. You need to teach the things that I taught you to those that can teach others. Why? Because as I'm doing out, we want multiplication, not addition. Multiplication, not addition. As I help you, and you, and you, and you, now we keep doing it, and then they keep doing it, and then they keep doing it, and they keep doing it. What a wonderful group to be around. Well, all I'm focused on is helping you love your Jesus more, and helping you, and you, and you, and you, and we're all doing that. It's going to be hard to not love my brother as myself when all I'm focused on is loving the Christ in you and getting you to love Christ that much more and that much more and that much more. Now, as you're doing this, here's the mindset, Timothy. Here's the mindset. You ready? Here we go. Verse 3. Endure hard times as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No soldier on active duty entangles himself with a civilian affairs, that he may please the enlisting officer. Anyone who competes as an athlete is not rewarded without competing legally. The farmer who labors should first partake of the crops. Consider what I'm saying, and may the Lord grant you understanding in all things. Okay, Timothy, as you're investing in others, as you're bringing the love of Christ out in others, as you're doing that so others can do that also, you need to endure. How, Paul? I'm glad you asked, Timothy. As a soldier, as an athlete, and as a farmer. That's how. As a soldier, as an athlete, and as a farmer. That's the mindset. That's the visual for the right hemisphere thinking people to visualize. Soldier, athlete, farmer. Wow, that's a lot of time. I have to increase my skill level, and that's a lot of volume. A soldier, an athlete, and a farmer. That tells me that as I'm bringing out the love of you and in you and in you, and as we're doing this, we continue doing it for the long haul. Enduring comes with the mindset that says, I am not going to stop until God takes me home. That's when I'll stop. Not when you retire, not when you transfer a ministry to someone else, not when you say, I had my time, it's time for someone else. In this aspect, Timothy, nope. There's no retiring, my man. You bring the love of Christ out in you, and in you, and in you, and in others that want to teach others. Here's the mindset. You need to endure as a soldier, as an athlete, and as a farmer. That's the mentality you have to have. I'm glad Paul said this, because endure can take so many forms, can't it? Endure can mean so many subjective things to how I perceive that. What was said and what was heard, right? Endure. If I was to ask you, everybody individually, hey, what does endure mean? We might have 30 different answers. But Paul says, so that we're not confused, I want you to endure like this. Soldier, athlete, farmer. Oh, gotcha. Don't you love when the Bible explains things so simple? The more I understand, the more I know, the more I live out, the more I find myself just parking on what's clear and not chasing the what if, maybe, how come, might be's. Nah, I'm going to stay with this because this is what I know. This is for sure black and white. So you're going to have to endure. You're going to have to endure some hard times. Why? Number one, not everyone is going to want to love Jesus like you do. Not every born-again believer is going to want to say yes to Jesus and say, I love him, and I'm going to yield and abide in Jesus so that others see Christ's love in me. Whether they want it or not, I don't care. I don't care if you want Jesus or not. I'm doing it because that's who I am. That's who I am in Christ. I'm going to walk in love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance. Why? Because that's who I am. I'm going to walk in love because that's who I am. But not every born-again believer is going to want to walk in love. So you have to endure. At this time, with what they're going through in their culture, yeah, not everybody wanted to identify with believers in Christ, with Christians. Why? Because they would burn them like candles on the Roman streets. That's why. Oh, show everyone that I love Jesus so I can burn up there? Okay, let's do it. Not everyone thought that way. Not everyone thought that way. Don't get distracted, Timothy. Don't get discouraged. Endure. There's going to come up a reward for enduring. It's not salvation, it's for enduring. And it's those that are able to teach others also, their reward to reign with Christ. Why should I endure, Paul? Because you're going to be able to reign with him. And if I don't endure, no reigning. God can't deny himself. You'll be able to go to heaven. But don't you want to reign with him? The thought should be yes. Why? Because that's what Jesus is offering me. I don't want to settle for the lowest package deal on, well, at least I'm going to heaven when I die. Puke. Pathetic. Nope. It's kind of vulgar language. I know, I'm sorry. I don't mean to be vulgar. But in my perception, I just think, as I'm enduring, as I'm seeing enduring as a soldier, as an athlete, as a farmer, as I see it, not everybody wants to live a fulfilled Christian life. Okay, it can get discouraged. I can be ashamed. Nope. You endure. And those that endure, those that you're going to teach to endure, are going to be able to reign with him. Can you imagine a king that shares his authority of reigning? Now, we understand that Christ is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's going to be the all-powerful ruler in the millennial reign. We get that. But the fact that he'll let me rule and reign over tens or 50s or hundreds, the love that Christ has, the reward that Christ gives to those who endure. I don't do it for the reward. Paul is telling Timothy, those that endure will be able to reign. don't settle for just getting into heaven. Let's endure. Let's endure. Let's tackle. Let's go through these hard times. Let's go through these tribulations. Here's the thing. If I don't endure and I don't want to do what the leadership is doing as far as believers in Christ at this time in this area, that Timothy's at Ephesus, if I don't do that and they kill me, I go to heaven. If I do endure and they kill me, I go to heaven. The end result is the same. One comes with reigning, yes. The other comes with just going to heaven. Either way, when I die, I'm going up there. So if I take that stance in the context of 2 Timothy, while persecution's happening, if I take that stance and say, yes, Paul, I will endure as a soldier, as an athlete, and as a farmer, and if they burn me for it, I will get to reign. Sign me up. Sign me up. Let's do it. They're hunting us down either way. They're hunting us down either way. One is scared holding on to this kingdom. One has no fear grasping for a different kingdom. They cannot see. Timothy, I love you. I love the Christ that's in you. You know what's going to help you, Timothy? You bring out the love of Christ in others. So if we were to take a principle, Alice, and apply it to my life, boom. How am I doing? How am I doing by trying to bring out the love of Christ in someone else? It starts with me showing what a loving Christ looks like, right? It would be nice for me to show a loving Christ to the one I'm investing in. If I have a do this, don't do that, critical, judgmental, angry, bah! Always correcting, always criticizing, always. And I want you to love this Jesus. The hearer's going to go, oh, the Jesus you're representing? Okay, yeah, no. I'm good, bro. It's nice if it starts with me displaying the love of Christ that I want to invest in the hearer that's around me. Give them a Jesus to love. Give them a Christ worth following. And I'm talking about those you're wanting to invest in, those that want to hear, that are able to teach others also. Those that say, yes, I want to learn. Give them an example on a loving Christ to where the hearers say, yes, I want that, and I want that to come out of me. Not, ugh. No. I'm good. I'm going to use the cliche pastor saying. The other day we talked about sometimes we fall in love with our God we've made up, not the God of the Bible. That's why when someone says, explain to me the God of the Bible, we go, because I'm thinking about the God that I fell in love with, the God that I serve, but isn't the biblical God. So when I say, well, God is like, well, the Bible God is like, I don't know. Because I'm not serving or loving the biblical God. I'm serving and loving the Jesus. His name is Jesus. He's in the Bible in my mind. He's at the church I go to. But in my behavior, in my speech, in my talk, in my heart, it's my God that I love and comfortable with. So when I'm confronted with, tell me about the God of the Bible. Well, I can tell you about my God. Oh, tell me about your God. And you have to explain what he allows you to do and not do and how you serve him. And it might not line up with what Scripture says. We don't want that God. We want the pure, loving Savior, Jesus Christ, God, of the Bible. Why? Because that's the one who I fall in love with, who I want to invest in others to bring that out. I will not be ashamed of. I won't be ashamed of that God. Moving on down. I got 5 minutes. You guys are doing great. Here we go. Remember this. All right. Verse 8, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David, according to my gospel, in which I suffer trouble like a criminal, even with chains. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, so since I'm following this Jesus, remember, he was raised from the dead, I'm suffering trouble and in chains, therefore I endure the things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation, which is in Christ Jesus, with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying. If we die with him, we shall also live with him. I'm going to heaven. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him in what? Enduring. He also will deny us. What will he deny us? Reigning. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. If we die, we'll live with him. If we endure, we can reign with him. But if we deny him, as far as the enduring goes, he'll deny us reigning with him. If we are faithless, again, not enduring, backing away, in the context, I'll make sure it's clear so it's encouraging. In the context, it's the men who are that Timothy is teaching that can teach others. Those men, Timothy, that you're teaching, you and the men you're teaching that can teach others, if they endure, they can reign. If they deny him, they'll deny being reigned, but you will still live with him. He can't deny himself. He remains faithful. I'll summarize the first half. We'll go to the second half of chapter 2 next week. On the perspective of love, last week it was, Timothy, I love the Christ in you. That's what I love. From a child, you've known him from Scripture. Your grandma was saved, your mom was saved, and you're saved also. Hey, remember that. Remember the joy in the beginning of your salvation. Remember that. Remember the calling you had. Stir up that gift. Don't be ashamed of him or of me. Number 2, Timothy, what's going to help you with the love of Christ in you that I love is to bring out that love of Christ in others. With the mindset on enduring, so as I'm looking to just bring out that 1% or whatever they'll allow me to bring out, the love of Christ in others, it will remind me as a byproduct of the God I love. The scriptural God, the amazing Lord, to where I won't be ashamed. But as you're doing that, not everyone's going to want that. So endure as a soldier, as an athlete, and as a farmer. Endure. The men that you're teaching these truths to, that I've taught you, let them know that if they deny him, they won't be able to reign with him. But even that denial, even if they're faithless, they can still live with him, and they can still be with him because he can't deny himself. Salvation is based on a promise God made to himself, whether you are faithful or not. Isn't that awesome? And I, now I'm going to point to me, but it's Jesus, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That's God making a promise to himself, knowing the things you're going to do after you're saved. You're not saved or kept saved by the works you do. You're not kept saved by you now doing all these great things for God. But let it motivate you, Timothy, and the others are teaching, that because he remains faithful, because he's loving, what shall we say then? Romans chapter 6. Shall I continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid! How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Just because I can, in God's grace, abide in sin, because I can, doesn't mean I should. No, I see how loving and kind and amazing the Lord is. That's the one I want to follow. And that's the one I shouldn't be ashamed of. And that's the one you should be bringing out in others. You know, a small group in the book of Acts turned the world upside down. That's what it was said about them. Small group of people loving Jesus so fervently that the world around them said, these people have turned the world upside down with their doctrine. No Facebook. No Twitter. No, what else is there? Snapchat. What is it? Instagram. No Twitter. Yeah, all those things, right? They turned the world upside down by just their feet, their lips, and their behavior. We can do it here. Same old school process. And it starts with each of us loving the Christ that's in you and all of us helping each other, bringing out the love of Christ out of us also. And as a byproduct, I'll be reminded of the Lord that I love, and I can't help but just smile. I can't help but just talk about Jesus. I will be able to help it, because I'm constantly stirred up with just how amazing he is. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful and thankful for Jesus Christ. We're so thankful for your love and your grace and mercy. Lord, it's just awesome to see how much gentleness Paul has with Timothy. Not taking it personal that he's ashamed of him, not taking it to where he's angry with him, but just understanding Timothy is just young. He's fearful. Timothy knows so many great truths, and it's just neat to see how even while Paul is in prison, knowing he's going to die, just the soft, tender heart he has for Timothy. He's not anxious, he's not upset, he's not worried, but just loves his son in the faith. Tori is giving him exactly what he needs, Lord, to be stirred up in you. Lord, we've seen last week how Paul just loves the Jesus in Timothy. And using that same principle, Paul loves the Jesus in Timothy, and Paul desires Timothy to bring out that same love of Christ out of others, to invest in them, to endure. Lord, allow us all to have that same heart and mindset, that love for you. And may we reap the benefits of a church that loves you, that loves each other, that wants to build each other up for your honor and glory. Bless our afternoon. In Jesus' name, amen.